Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, April 24th, 2023, start of a brand new week. Can you almost into May here, and it was 28 degrees when I got up this morning. We were under a frost warning and everything. Gosh darn that human-caused global warming. Okay, anyway, it's the start of a brand new week. It's a very, very busy news day. We got a lot of stuff to cover here. Julie is in our control room taking care of business, so let's get right on into it. Obviously, the big news of the day is that Fox News has let go of Tucker Carlson, and this happened apparently over the weekend, just days after Don Bongino was let go. And, of course, just days after Fox News Channel reached a settlement in a defamation lawsuit filed by Dominion Voting Systems, maybe firing Tucker Carlson was a condition of the settlement. And but it's pretty clear this was not Tucker Carlson's idea. Because when he closed his Friday show, last Friday show was his last show at Fox, and he said, we'll see you Monday. So at least at that point in time, he had every expectation that he would be getting ready for tonight's broadcast. So anyway, apparently Fox News just knuckled under the pressure here. And, Joachim Hagopian is saying that Fox News settling out of court with Dominion proves the steal is still on. And obviously, Dominion would not want something like Tucker Carlson out there saying, we are not really sure these machines are accurate. Okay, we would like to see more rigorous testing. And the fact of the matter is that the vast majority, well, not vast majority, but a majority of American voters do think cheating has become a problem in our elections. Anyway, starting with tonight's broadcast, Fox is going to have a rotating series of hosts until they decide on a new permanent host. And so we'll see what's going to happen with that. I don't know. Dylan Mulvaney could be tonight's special guest host. And Tucker Carlson was the only reason I watched Fox News, okay? And what is really kind of disgusting is the way liberals are gloating about this. Like, can we not have a little dignity in our daily goings-on here? But anyway, over on The View, they're just, you know, throwing parties there. Tucker Carlson's gone. We don't have to deal with him anymore. John Stewart was out there just say, yes, we got rid of him and so forth. And apparently the ladies of The View did the on-air Mexican wave to wave Tucker Carlson goodbye here. And it's all over social media. The liberals are out there saying, oh, he's good riddance and so forth and so on here. Now, interestingly enough, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is of the opinion that Carlson's departure from Fox News may have been tied in with a recent monologue he did exploring some of the issues with Big Pharma and how they had been skipping tests and misreporting results during the development of the COVID vaccine. I tend to think it's linked to the Dominion lawsuit, but then it could be just multiple things. And Fox News finally said, all right, we'll get rid of them. We'll go along with the rest of the corporate media and try and lure back the American people to this little fantasy world, this matrix where they're all supposed to live their lives here. Now, Megyn Kelly is out there saying that getting rid of Carlson is a terrible move by Fox. And already we're hearing that people are canceling their subscriptions to Fox Nation. And their stock price at Fox News Communication or Fox News Corporation plummeted at one point nearly 4% of its entire value. That's roughly $930 million lost in market value today. Now, as of the last time I checked, just before airtime, it was edging up a little bit, but we'll see what's going to happen over the next few days. Now, getting on back to social media, One of the rumors swirling around, and I emphasize that this is a rumor, is that Tucker Carlson is now in talks with Donald Trump to potentially be part of the 2024 campaign. Okay? And some people are saying Tucker Carlson would make a good VP. I tend to agree. Meanwhile, Susan Rice has resigned her post at the White House to be Joe Biden's VP in the 2024 race. Okay, and there continue to be speculations. Are more of these hosts going to be let go following the Dominion voting system settlement? And a lot of people are predicting that Maria Bartiromo and Jeanine Pirro will be fired to try and reduce the amount of exposure the network has to ongoing lawsuits. This is called lawfare. Okay, the actual merits of the case don't matter anymore. We're just going to pound on you and make you spend money on lawyers until you give up. All right. Anyway, over at Larry Klayman's, he's out there saying that he thinks Hannity may be let go as well. That's the coming from Judicial Watch. Meanwhile, on the same day and raising a lot of eyebrows, CNN has dumped Don Lemon. So he is now off the air. And boy, if they keep firing people like that, I'm going to send them a resume. Sure, they're going to hire me. Absolutely. All righty. Now, one of the issues that has come on up is that Democratic New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called for regulating Fox News and other news organizations with a yesterday interview with MSNBC host Jen Psaki. Now, Psaki asked Ocasio-Cortez for her thoughts on the Fox News Dominion settlement, and Ocasio says, "We have very real issues with what is permissible on air, and we saw that with the January 6th, and we saw that in the lead up to January 6th, and how we navigate questions not just of freedom of speech, but also accountability for incitement of violence. This is the line that we have to really explore through law as well." In other words, what she's saying is if somebody somewhere could be incited to violence by what you've said, then what you've said can be censored, which is a complete violation of the First Amendment. Okay? The First Amendment does not exist to protect speech that everybody loves. In fact, it is primarily there to protect speech that somebody somewhere hates and does not want you to hear. Now, also over the weekend, 60 Minutes did an interview with Ray Epps. And 60 Minutes, remember the same show that re-edited the Jennifer Flowers segment to help Bill Clinton to the nomination, tried to portray Ray Epps as the victim, okay? And this is even after it was revealed that a January 6th participant sent the text where he took responsibility for orchestrating the January 6th events. Ray Epps went on out and texted, "I organized this. This is all my doing." So, you know, he was on there, and 60 Minutes tried to make him look like a victim of a smear campaign. The one thing they did not show is his criminal assault that was caught on video. Okay? And, you know, you've got eight of the January 6th supporters, Trump supporters, are in prison for touching a giant Trump sign that was thrown at police. And Ray Epps can be seen in the video. He's pushing on that thing toward the police as hard as he can. 60 Minutes did not show it. He was not arrested for it. I don't think 60 Minutes has convinced anybody that Ray Epps is not some kind of an undercover agent provocateur, as it were. Pardon me. Now, apparently, over at Revolver News, they're saying there are new details emerging exposing a massive web of unindicted operatives at the heart of January 6th. And apparently you had Ray Epps running around on both January 5th and January 6th. He was at multiple locations, multiple times, telling people, "You got to go in, you got to go in, you got to go in." When it actually began, you see Ray Epps literally grabbing people and shoving them toward the Capitol building. Clearly, this man was an instigator, and clearly somebody somewhere is protecting him. So, anyway, getting into the upcoming elections, there's been a development over at the Democratic National Committee, and it bodes ill for the nation. First of all, the Democratic Party announced they will support Joe Biden's reelection, and possibly because past debates have not gone all that well for Joe Biden, there will be no primary debates. In other words, they've just declared by imperial edict, Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee in 2024. Nobody else is even allowed to touch to him. Okay, and this is in the face of polls that find a majority of Democrats don't want Biden running again. And so once again, we have the party machine saying to heck with you voters, even their own voters. This is the Democratic Party machine telling Democratic voters, sit down and shut up. We will tell you what your candidate is going to be. It's none of your business here. All righty. Now, over at the New York Times, they did an article, and we'll probably see a lot more of these in the coming months here, raising concerns about Joe Biden's age and also mental ability. And Senate Democrats went on the defense. Meet the Press moderator Chuck Todd asked Senator Dick Durbin, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, if Biden should be doing more to assure Americans he's up to the job as the election approaches. And Durbin said, I think his schedule reflects an active person mentally and physically who's engaging with the American people on the regular basis. Except, of course, if you look at how much time Joe Biden takes off and how early in the day he will often call what they call a lid. Okay, the lid is on. We're done for today. Meanwhile, GOP Representative Tim Burchett says that Joe Biden's impeachment may be likely because the corruption that is being exposed now includes prostitution rings. So sex and power go together. So Tim Burchett warned that new information brought in by an IRS whistleblower, who is seeking protection, by the way, could lead to a Biden impeachment. And we'll see what's going to happen on that one. But it is incredible the degree of corruption. And maybe it's always been that corrupt. But now because of citizen journalists and the Internet, we know about it. And maybe that's why they want that Internet to go away. It would be totally under their control. All righty. Now, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich has explained in a new column why and how he believes that Donald Trump should be banned from running for the White House again. And he even went so far as to tell the secretaries of state of all 50 states, you have the authority to remove Donald Trump from the 2024 ballot. Boy, they're not even trying to hide what's going on here. They really are not. All righty. Now, getting on back to Hunter Biden and the laptop, and just to sort of recap what's going on, just before the 2020 election, there were these 50 former intelligence officials signed an open letter declaring that a New York Post story about Hunter Biden's laptop had the classic earmarks of a Russian disinformation operation. It has now been revealed this letter was instigated at the behest of the Joe Biden campaign. And this is basically alluded to in a letter to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, released by Jim Jordan, chair of the House Judiciary Committee and Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government. In that letter, you see three snippets of dialogue from the questioning of former CIA head Morrell, who appears to have organized the actual letter and basically says that, no, without the request from the Biden campaign, they would not have even bothered, you know, creating such a letter. It was a pure political stunt, propaganda, election interference, okay? Now, we know that there were a lot of lies regarding the investigation into Hunter Biden and various other issues. And that same IRS whistleblower we were just talking about has now named the alleged senior, the alleged senior Biden official who lied to Congress. And that's Attorney General Merrick Garland, who apparently has been caught actively trying to block an investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop. It's not what his job is supposed to be about. Meanwhile, Representative Harriet Hageman has called for Anthony Blinken to appear before the Weaponization Committee over an intelligence letter signed by these 51 intelligence officials regarding the Hunter Biden laptop. And there are a lot of people who are asking well-deserved questions about this. Of course, corporate media is not covering much of this at all, which is why we need citizen journalists and independent media to keep you fully informed. Now, adding fuel to the fire, apparently some of the individuals who signed that letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation wound up getting jobs in the Biden administration. And so we have Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, former Deputy Director of the CIA Michael Morell, basically have admitted they organized the letter. And let's see, Jeremy Bash, a former Chief of Staff for CIA, was the one who put Morell in touch with Biden's campaign chairman, Steve Ricchetti, who personally thanked Morell for facilitating the letter's creation. Bash was then appointed to Biden's Intelligence Advisory Board in 2022. All right. A little bit of patronage there. Over at the Gateway Pundit, they have an interesting story raising the question, is Hunter Biden living inside the White House itself to avoid his former girlfriend, the stripper, who has papers to send him to jail? And basically, New York Post Miranda Devine revealed that the first son is believed to be living in the White House because he's worried that Lyndon Roberts, the former stripper that he got pregnant, will serve him legal papers and send him to jail. Now, Hunter has allegedly failed to provide his financial records as required in Roberts' lawsuit regarding support payments to their four-year-old daughter, Navy. And Joe and the rest of the Biden family have yet to acknowledge the little girl. As far as they're concerned, she does not exist. And apparently, Hunter went to a judge in January to try and stop Roberts from changing Navy's last name to Biden. And in the same New York Post article, Devine reports there may be other Biden family members shacking up at the White House to avoid process servers and so forth and so on. A lot of people up in Congress want to talk to a lot of the members of the Biden family. So anyway. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis appeared at a leadership summit organized by the Heritage Foundation, during which he said, you know, there are three things to work out for. If the Democrats can sweep all the offices in 2024, they will try to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. They will try and abolish the Electoral College. They will try to make Washington, D.C. a state to get two left-wing senators virtually for life. They will eliminate voter ID across the country. They will mandate ballot harvesting in every state of the union. And he's right. Because the Democrats know that they had to cheat to attain power, and they're going to cheat to hang on to power. All righty. Now, we're still looking at the after effects of these leaked Pentagon 2 papers, if you will, about the war in Ukraine and how it's not going very well. There's still debate going on if this is a PSYOP or not, but certainly the government is seizing the opportunity of this leak to push for more surveillance and control over the internet. More about that when we come back from these commercials.
Oh, yeah. Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Okay, and welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the recent leak of Pentagon 2 papers and how they certainly seem like the genuine deal. They do not paint a very positive picture for Ukraine or the United States for that matter. But people in government are seizing on this leak as a justification for tightening controls on the internet, more censorship, more surveillance. We've got the Restrict Act that's out there hovering in the background. And what was really kind of interesting is that there was this newsletter from J.D. Tusile, and he says, "We do believe that social media companies have a responsibility to their users in their country to manage the private sector infrastructure that they create and now operate." Okay. Now, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre last week responded to questions about the massive leak of military documents, saying that we normally urge companies to avoid facilitating this circulation of material detrimental to public safety and national security, meaning you've got to protect our lives. Well, no, actually, it doesn't. Strictly speaking, it's the government's job to protect their own secrets. And if they're not very good at it, don't dump the blame on the rest of us out here, okay? It's just what it comes down to. Well, John Fetterman is back at Congress. He's been dressing rather informally. And he made an interesting statement to NPR, said that that he was not the senator that Pennsylvania deserved, which tells me that he is still dealing with depression, which can get really bad. And apparently the doctors who are treating him are telling him he should stay away from news and social media while working on getting over his depression. I can certainly understand that. There's a lot of times when I look at all this news that's coming through here, I get really down and depressed. It gets to Claire, and I tell Claire, go walk away, take some time off, forget about, work on music. And but yeah, I can understand awareness of what's going on, you know, seeing that this country is nothing at all like what you were taught it was in school. It's very painful. It really, really, really is. All righty. Now, the United States Supreme Court earlier today asked Joe Biden's administration to weigh in on whether it should review Republican-backed laws in Texas and Florida that would undercut efforts by major social media companies to curb content deemed objectionable on their platforms, actions the states call impermissible censorship. And in my world, all censorship is impermissible. And so, pardon me, the justices are considering taking up two cases involving challenges to the state laws, both currently blocked, brought by technology industry groups NetChoice and the Computer and Communication Industry Association, that count Twitter, Meta Platform, Incorporated Facebook's, and Alphabet's YouTube as its members. So basically, what the states have done is they have passed laws limiting, you know, censorship within their state. They're trying to protect freedom of speech, and these two lawsuits are trying to overturn that, to bring back censorship, and now the Supreme Court is going to weigh in on that. Now, supporters of these laws have argued that social media platforms have silenced conservative voices, while advocates for the judicious use of curbing content have argued for the need to stop misinformation and advocacy for extremist causes. The problem is, who gets to decide what's misinformation? I mean, we know now that Saddam's nuclear weapons were misinformation. We know now that Assad gassing his own people in Syria was misinformation. So I really think, in the sense of freedom, that Americans should decide for themselves what's misinformation and what isn't. Be your own best analyst. Okay, a new whistleblower has come forward in Florida, alleging myriad violations of law by county elections office. And this is a sworn affidavit filed with the Secretary of State. Robin Wheeler alleges that the Orange County SOE office committed numerous violations of state laws, and, you know, way beyond simple mistakes. It's more election fraud. We got to take another break. No, I got another 45 seconds here. All right. Pardon me. Let's talk about COVID here. This is really going to shake up a lot of people. This is being reported in your destination now. A coroner, okay, found a healthy 32-year-old doctor died from a cerebral blood clot and put on the death certificate it was caused by the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Now, the wife wants to sue AstraZeneca. The problem is, of course, these pharmaceutical companies are legally indemnified. You can't sue them for their products harming you. The only way you can sue them is if they've committed some kind of an illegal action, like altering the data and covering up harmful effects. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And welcome back to our show here. Pardon me, a lot of pollen today. We're talking about COVID, and once again, we are starting to learn that there are long-term adverse effects that we need to deal about. And there's an article over at Global Research, and they're talking about how more and more people who got the mRNA vaccine, and this is particularly affecting young people, they're developing brain aneurysms. Now, brain aneurysms can be fatal, and normally they only attack old people, okay? But apparently, back on April 11th, actor Jamie Foxx suffered either a brain bleed or a brain aneurysm. He's still in the hospital. Doctors claim they have no idea what happened. And yes, he was COVID-19 vaccinated. So it's getting really dangerous out here. Okay, Blacklisted News is reporting, back in February 2021, Moderna scientists published results from the Phase 2 trial of the company's mRNA COVID jab in the journal Vaccine. Moderna had started the P201 trial with 600 healthy volunteers on May 29, 2020, mostly to examine if the shots were safe. The company had other good news on that front. In the highlight section at the top of the paper, Moderna scientists reported no serious adverse effects were observed. That statement was untrue. As you got further and further into the actual text, you start to realize something's being hidden. And yes, Moderna did hide serious side effects suffered by its COVID vaccine recipients. Now, that's the kind of behavior that can result in a lawsuit against the pharmaceutical company because they're engaging in fraud. All right, now, Senator Rand Paul joined Fox News, Fox and Friends. Fox News, Fox News. That rings a bell. I used to know about them. Anyway, he was on Fox News, Fox and Friends, to discuss Dr. Fauci, the origins of COVID. And Rand Paul says that Fauci deserves culpability, and history is going to judge him very poorly. Probably Fauci is one of those people who really doesn't care how history is going to judge him because he's got his pile of money now and he's going to have fun. Now, when this whole masking thing first came along, we got a lot of phone calls here into the show about, you know, the masks didn't work, the masks weren't going to work. And we got a number of calls saying the masks were actually harmful, okay, in part because they were building up carbon dioxide, which you would inhale again. And I was kind of dubious on that, given the actual volume between the face and the mask. But apparently there has been a study done in Germany that shows that, yes, there is enough of a carbon dioxide buildup wearing these face masks to increase the risk of stillbirths in women and testicular dysfunction in men. And, yeah, apparently these are symptoms of mild CO2 poisoning. Alrighty, in other health-related news, this is going to go over with like a lead balloon. Apologies to Mythbusters. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is considering a ban on sale of all tobacco products. Okay, that is not going to go over very well at all. Okay, I mean, prohibition has worked out so well in the past. All right, let's get to the international news because things are not going very good. Article out of Global Research that the outlook for Ukraine is very, very grim, and a lot of information is surfacing, and not just from the leaked papers. Zelensky, as late as the 7th of March, promised on CNN that Ukraine would de-block Russia's siege of Bakhmut because a Russian conquest of Bakhmut would create an open road for Russia in eastern Ukraine. Zelensky committed no less than 80,000 troops to de-block Bakhmut. And now, 1.5 months later, it's been a humiliating loss. Ukraine is pressed back into a corner of only a few city blocks in Bakhmut. Ukraine holds just 1,400 meters by 2,400 meters in western Bakhmut. Like a melting ice flake, Ukraine every day loses 200 meters on each side. And Russia is also advancing north around Bakhmut, strengthening Russia's flanks and creating Russian physical control of the last supply road 506. The Russians are winning. That's the short version. Sorry about that. So anyway, let's see over here. Now, here is a very telling article. It's over at Politico, and it says Biden's team fears the aftermath of a failed Ukrainian counteroffensive. And apparently the Biden administration is preparing for the possibility that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive is not going to really work on out. And this, of course, is going to look very bad for Biden. Failure in Ukraine will be perceived by the American people as Afghanistan 2.0. And they're going to be looking at all that money that was sent over to Ukraine that could have been used here to alleviate hardship, repair our infrastructure. You know, give the American people a break, okay? And so Yeah, I think, unfortunately, Biden's most likely strategy right now is simply to prolong the war past the 2024 elections. Because if it's over before the elections, then Biden is toast and can't win against Russia. So they're just going to drag it out no matter how many of your children get killed and crippled and how much of your money they have to spend. I think that's going to be Biden's strategy, to just drag it out past the elections. Okay, now then, let's see. Apparently, dozens of foreign mercenaries have been killed in a strike on the Ukrainian held town of Konstantinovka in Russia's People's Republic of Donetsk. Up to 60 members of the so-called Georgian Legion were killed. 15 military vehicles were destroyed. 20 other mercenaries were seriously wounded. And the strike was carried out using the Iskander short-range ballistic missile system, targeted a library which foreign fighters were using for lodging and storing ammunition. Must have been a heck of a bang when it hit. Speaking of bangs, Ukraine has attacked Russia's main naval base in Crimea with exploding sea drones. And the Russian governor of the largest city in Crimea says that Ukrainian forces attacked Russia's main naval base earlier today using these exploding sea drones. So, yep, it's a war. Now, nobody was injured in the attack. Apparently the drones hit at a harbor off of Sevastopol. The drones didn't make their way into Streletskaya Bay, which I guess implies that's where the main mooring docks are. He said the blast from the drone's explosion broke windows on four residential buildings, and he ordered Vice Governor Evgeny Sergeyevich Gorlov to manage the damage. All right. In another sign of deteriorating relations between East and West, Russia and Germany are both expelling dozens of each other's diplomats. Germany is expelling a large group of Russian diplomats from the country. Moscow has retaliated by ordering dozens of Berlin staff to return home. So, yeah, that's bad sign. Very, very, very bad sign. Okay. Now then, let's get back to the Nord Stream pipeline. And there's been something kind of odd happening ever since Seymour Hersh's article came on out stating that the U.S. was behind the destruction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And, of course, the U.S. was the main suspect from the beginning. You know, who benefited, who got what they wanted, that was only the United States. Now, the pipeline was owned partly by Russia, and it was also owned partly by Germany. And a lot of people are starting to notice the fact that Germany isn't really saying all that much. Like, you know, that was their national property that was destroyed. It upset their economy greatly. You'd think the German government would be slightly upset. Okay, but, you know, it's like Germany knew what was going to happen and just went along with it to help the war effort. Okay. Now, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov yesterday said the U.S. has denied visas to Russian journalists who wanted to cover his trip to New York for a U.N. Security Council meeting. And he said a country that calls itself the strongest, smartest, free and fair country has chickened out and done something stupid by showing what its sworn assurances about protecting freedom of speech and access to information are really worth. Boy, he hit it on the head with that one. No question. Lavrov hinted Moscow would retaliate in some way, saying, "Be sure we will not forget and we will not forgive." Okay. Now, Stoltenberg is still running around talking about Ukraine joining NATO, even though obviously there's an escalation of conflict with Russia. So Stoltenberg evidently is all gung-ho to get NATO involved in a war. A lot of the NATO nations aren't really all that eager to have a full-on war on their doorstep. And over in Hungary, Viktor Orban is still saying, "We will veto Ukraine's membership in NATO," because Turkey doesn't want a war either. Now, We've been hearing about how recruitment here in the United States is down. And part of it is because everybody knows we're headed to a war and they don't want to have important bits of their body blown off. But a lot of it also has to do with the wokeness of our military, which is a real turnoff to a lot of potential recruits. And possibly making fun of that, Russia has expanded their war recruitment drive with a new ad calling for real men. Okay, we want real men. Now, the U.S. is claiming that the Russian army's recruitment drive is to replace the 43,000 Russians killed so far in Ukraine. This is coming from the same people about, you know, Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. But looking at information we get from Scott Ritter and Douglas McGregor, it's clear the number of Russians killed is a fraction of the 43,000 claimed. And what analysts are saying is Russia wants to increase their army, their military overall, by 400,000 men in anticipation of an escalation of this war beyond the borders of Ukraine. And that is not going to be good. That is not going to be good. Okay, some of the information in those leaked documents. Ukraine was planning attacks on Russian forces inside Syria. And Kiev's military intelligence agency believed it could carry out these attacks on Russian soldiers and Wagner Group forces in Syria, forcing Moscow to redeploy assets from Ukraine down to Syria in order to, you know, weaken the front line within Ukraine itself. So we'll see what's going to happen on that. Meanwhile, the watchdog for U.S. spending on Afghanistan told responsible statecraft that he fully expects pilferage of the U.S. aid to Ukraine. Okay, this is John Sopko. He served as the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction since 2012, said he personally favored creating a similar position for U.S. spending on the war in Ukraine. Would make perfect sense to me. A bill to do just that was voted down by Congress. Keep that in mind here. And so, yeah, without oversight, there's all that money sitting there. It's just going to trickle on away. You know, huge sums of money. People say, oh, go on, take a bundle or two. They're not going to miss it. All righty. Meanwhile, over in Iran, their army has received 200 new strategic drones. These are drones equipped with missile capabilities and electronic warfare systems. And they're long-range drones produced by the Iranian Defense Ministry. The drones are designed for reconnaissance and also for strike missions and can carry air-to-air and air-to-surface missiles. So isn't it amazing, after they hacked that one U.S. drone they brought down on their soil, how quickly they have matured. Okay, over in Sudan, and it's a repeat of a familiar pattern, Saigon, Kabul, Khartoum, and U.S. Special Forces have been evacuating the U.S. Embassy in Sudan. This happened mostly yesterday, and they were running sorties with helicopters and just getting the people out. Unfortunately, the word is they did not take out U.S. citizens who are still in Sudan but not part of the embassy, and that could be as many as 16,000 people. Okay, thank you. Good night. You're on your own. Okay, now Israel is now trying to convince China to help convince Iran to dismantle their nuclear program. And what Israel is seeing is Beijing's new role as a diplomatic power broker in that part of the world. And yes, China has done some pretty amazing things there. So Eli Cohen, the Israeli foreign minister, asked his Chinese counterpart to use the country's influence on Tehran to stop it acquiring nuclear weapons, as fears grow that the regime is on the brink of enriching enough uranium for a bomb. They've been telling us that for 30 years. It has not happened yet. Okay. Anyway, China is a new diplomatic player in the Middle East, having secured a major thaw in tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So that was an amazing thing. Now, Taiwan is now asking the United States, can you kind of back off the China bashing? Okay, Taiwanese officials have engaged in informal discussions with their American counterparts to try and tone down emotive claims that it is dangerous to count on chips manufactured there. Such claims were sparked by China's insistence that Taiwan is a renegade province, which it intends to reclaim using force if necessary. Well, there's been all this talk about war, and apparently somebody forgot to do the logistics analysis. This is a story out of UNS.com, where they wargamed modeling the logistics of a war in Taiwan between China and the U.S., and discovered to their embarrassment they could not get enough material past the Chinese blockade to support Taiwan. Too bad you didn't think about that before. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail.
And welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about the international news. And the United States has been conducting war games near the Philippines, and apparently the Filipino people are not happy about it. And there's this remote island, Bataan, and there were four of these Osprey tilt rotor helicopters. Those are noisy, by the way. They used to fly over our house all the time. And apparently it's just causing a huge racket. They're not used to it, so they're not happy about that at all. All righty. Now, apparently tear gas was used against people in rural France protesting against the arrival of authoritarian President Emmanuel Macron. This is an ongoing protest. It's been going on for weeks and weeks now over changes to the retirement program. And I think there's probably a lot of other things the French people are upset with, like the immigration situation. And so the French police are now using tear gas on the French people for protesting. So we'll see what happens there. All righty. Over in Israel, 120,000 people performed the Eid al-Fitr prayer at Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Jerusalem on Friday, despite measures taken by the Israeli occupation authorities to try and limit the number. Okay? And so these 120,000 worshipers were inside the mosque compound and in the courtyards around there. And apparently Israeli occupation forces assaulted Palestinians' youths, beating them with sticks near the Lion's Gate. So not too pleasant. Okay, now, Hakeem Jeffries, the top-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives, is visiting Israel this week for the first time since replacing Nancy Pelosi as the leader of the House Democrats. Jeffries will be accompanied by 11 key Democrats, arrives in Israel after months of unprecedented criticism from fellow Democrats concerning Prime Minister Netanyahu's judicial overhaul. Among those traveling with Jeffries are Jewish representatives Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Sarah Jacobs, and Dean Phillips. So they're going on over there. Isn't it great that this country is running so smoothly that our members of Congress have got nothing better to do than to travel over to Israel and just pal around there? Meanwhile, the mayor of Barcelona, okay, is being sued by an American group for severing the ties with Israel. And basically, in Barcelona, this mayor, Ada Colau, is being sued because she decided to boycott Israel over its practice of apartheid. And now this Lawfare project is suing her. You know, that's their favorite club. We'll see you in court. We're going to sue you. All right, the U.S. has tested a Minuteman III ICBM airborne launch control system in California. Normally, the Minuteman sits in silos, and nearby there's an underground control base. Now I guess they want airborne control. All right, we got to take a break for commercial, actually station identification. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.